This is Ian from Cheap Girls, and you're listening to Rocket Fuel.
So worry every day too much. Responsibility in the morning when my eyes are falling off my head. Look at him and he stops my engines. That kid is rocket fuel. That kid is rocket fuel. That kid is rocket fuel. That kid is rocket fuel.
What's up, and welcome to Rocket Fuel, where we play punk, ska, indie, and everything else in between. My name is Jeff, and I'll be your host. Coming up in this episode, I have brand new music from The Bouncing Souls, Cruiserweight, Scream Hello, and Fatter Than Albert, and classic tracks from The Descendants and Dag Nasty. I'll review the debut full-length from Washington's To The Waves, and later I'll talk with Ian Graham, bassist and singer for the awesome Michigan rock band Cheap Girls. But up first is new music from New Jersey legends Bouncing Souls. Last month, the folks from Anchorless Records released All Aboard, a tribute to Johnny Cash. The album features Cash covers from some of your favorite artists like the Gaslight Anthem, MXPX, Ben Nichols of Lucero, and a lot more. One of the coolest parts about the release is that all of the record's proceeds are going to the Sorintha Savio Endowment, which is dedicated to assisting underprivileged women fight breast cancer. You may also know them from their Shirts for a Cure project. To learn more about the endowment, visit their website at www.syrentha.org. From All Aboard, here is The Bouncing Souls with Man in Black.
Wonder why I always dress in black. Why you never see bright colors on my back. And why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the black for the poor and beaten down. Living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime. But he's there because he's a victim of the times. Now wear the black for those who never read or listened to the words that Jesus said about the road to happiness through love and charity. Why you think he's talking straight to you and me? Well, we're doing mighty fine, I do suppose, in our streak of lightning cars and fancy clothes. But just 35 plums squishing under my feet. I'm not telling anyone. When I'm asleep, who's looking after me? I could be traveling anywhere.
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. That was brand new music from the New Brunswick, New Jersey band, Scream Hello. From their excellent full-length debut, Everything Is Always Still Happening, that was 35 Plums. Before that, you heard a band that I got to hear for the very first time at this year's fest. Hailing from Newark, Delaware, that was The Casting Out with Walk Away. And now, punk rock headlines. Some new photos out of Brooklyn confirm that Jawbreaker and Just the Brazil mastermind Blake Schwarzenbach has indeed teamed up with Aaron Cometbus of Cometbus, Crimp Shrine, Pinhead Gunpowder, and numerous other bands. Stay tuned for more info on this supergroup. A Harvard Law School professor filed a counterclaim last Friday against the Recording Industry Association of America that challenges the constitutionality of RIAA's efforts against those caught downloading music from file-sharing services. Charles R. Nessen, the founder of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society, is defending Joel Tenenbaum, a Boston University grad student charged in 2005 with downloading 7 songs from a file-sharing network. According to RIAA spokesperson Kara Duckworth, the amount from Tenenbaum is undisclosed and left to the judge's discretion, though Tenenbaum may face over $1 million in penalties. Nessen explained his reasons for getting involved. "This is an unconstitutional delegation by Congress of executive prosecutorial powers to private hands. That a private organization is allowed to take a huge chunk of government power and impose its will upon millions of people is frankly disconcerting. The situation is absurd. It was never about the money. It was about creating a scary situation to deter others." And finally, in some sad news, Frank Navetta, founding member of Descendants, passed away 2 weeks ago. Frank founded the band with Tony Lombardo and Bill Stevenson in 1979. His bandmates made the announcement. "We're very sorry to announce that founding member of the Descendants and close friend Frank Navetta passed away on October 31st, 2008, after becoming ill over the course of a few days. This is obviously a huge loss for the Descendants family. His contribution to the band, and to music in general, cannot be overstated. Frank will truly be missed." Among other classic albums, Frank wrote and played on Milo Goes to College. He left the band and moved to Oregon to become a full-time fisherman in 1985. Punk rock headlines are brought to you by punknews.org. American runs on the org. In tribute to Frank Navetta, here is the Descendants with Bikage. And we're back at Rocket Fuel. That was brand new music from Cruiserweight. The Austin, Texas band recently released their second full-length album, Big Bold Letters, on Doghouse Records. From that record, that was Balboa. Before that, you heard the Australian band Blue Line Medic. From their amazing 2001 album, The Apology Wars, that was Over the Lawn. To the Waves, a five-piece rock band from the state of Washington, released their self-titled debut album earlier this summer on Burning Building Recordings. The band is led by singer and guitarist Jesse Fox, who just so happens to be a member of the recently reunited legendary band Seaweed. In fact, To the Waves played their very first show opening at a Seaweed reunion show in Tacoma. The album opens up with Coda, with soft and rhythmic strings building to an explosive assault of guitars and Fox's voice about 45 seconds into the track. This concept of softer string tones leading up to harder, more driving sounds is wonderfully woven through this record. Each of the songs on the record sound comfortably familiar, yet keep the listener guessing as each track progresses. Whether it's the driving bass of Cheryl Hooper on Bishop, to the hard-charging guitar sounds of Fox and Ryan Malley on Olympic Peaks and Lung Motor, to the Waves use dynamics and intricate rhythms that will remind listeners of Jawbox, but with their own modern spin on it. A track on the record that is intriguing is track 6 on the record, called Rule of Nines. At first listen, this heavy, scream-laden track seemed out of place and seemed to break up the momentum of the record. But as I listened to the album a second and third time, I found myself enjoying the tune more and more and getting into the groove of it. To the Waves do an excellent job of taking the turbulent, melodic sounds of 90s post-punk and making them current and taking them to the next level. On the Rocket Fuel gauge for albums, a 0 being that the album is out of gas, a 5 being that the tank is half full or average, and a 10 being that the album is full of gas and ready to blast off, I give the self-titled debut album from To the Waves an 8. This band is full of veteran Washington musicians, and I can't wait to hear future recordings from them. Is there an album you'd like me to review on the show, or would you like to tell me how right or wrong I am on a review? Drop me a line at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to check out my MySpace page at myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast. Here's one of my favorite tracks from To the Waves. Here is Lung Motor.
that you're here with me. This is where I wanna be. This is where I wanna be.
Thank you.
Welcome back. From one of my favorite albums from 2008, Find Me a Drink Home, that was Lansing, Michigan's Cheap Girls with Kind of On Purpose. Before that was new music from Tiger's Jaw. From their self-titled second album, that was The Sun. Going back to Cheap Girls, earlier this week I had a chance to talk with the singer and bassist from the band, Ian Graham. We talked about playing the fest, life on the road, and a lot more. Here it is. All right, I'm here with Ian from Cheap Girls. How's it going, Ian?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks. Not too long ago, you guys just got done playing the fest in Gainesville. How was it playing there?
It was fantastic. We had a blast. Our show turned out really, really well. Yeah, we had a really good time. It was a lot of fun. It was fun being there. It was all of our first years actually, you know, even attending it in any form. So we all had a really, really good time. So a lot of friends.
That's awesome. I was fortunate enough to be in the crowd there at Dirty Nelly's when you guys were playing. The crowd was great. It was huge. It was really cool to see that.
Yeah, it was kind of unexpected for us. It was our first time playing Florida. You know, we've played a lot of shows, but we never actually made it down there, so we didn't really know what to expect, but it turned out really, really well. We were all kind of surprised. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Now, you guys are from Lansing, Michigan, which, of course, is a long way from Florida. Of course, you just mentioned it's your first time making it down there. Thinking about that trip, it got me thinking, what do you guys do to stay awake and entertained while on the road?
We definitely do shifts, you know. Like, we always have at least, you know, a friend with us for the most part. And, you know, for entertainment or help or whatever you want to call it, you know, a lot of cassettes, a lot of talking, a lot of caffeine, a lot of black coffee.
Right.
For me personally. You know, just the usual things. And then basically, you know, we'll do these shifts. And on that trip specifically, we have, you know, we did a couple shows on the way there and back. That's pretty far. So, you know, we do these really long drives. And a lot of times, you know, we drive all day, get to go, and then drive all night and get to the next one. And so, you know, somebody would drive for... My brother's the drummer, Ben. Him and I do the bulk of the driving, so we do, like, you know, we each do 5 hours. I'm a little sleep, and then when we start, just, like, you know, you hit the rumble strips a couple times, and then
right.
Say, all right, maybe somebody else should take over, and then we switch it up and keep going.
Awesome.
Pretty standard car entertainment, you know, just records and cigarettes and coffee.
Very cool. Of course, you mentioned your brother Ben, who is the drummer in the band. Do you guys ever have it? Is there any challenges between the two of you having your brother in the band? Any, like, sibyl rivalry or anything like that?
See, no, not at all. And that's, like, probably one of the more common things everybody always wants to know. But no, we get along great. We're always around each other growing up and everything. We get along. You know, I mean, there's the common brother thing, but it's nice. You know, I really enjoy it. I get in a lot of situations where he stands up for me, so that's good. And,
that's cool.
No, we all get along really well.
That's awesome. Now, so, is he the older brother, or are you the older brother?
He's 2 years older than me.
Okay, very cool, very cool. Did you guys grow up in a musical household?
My dad was, you know, a drummer, never, you know, in a lot of bands, you know, in high school. They're definitely interested in it, and there's always a lot of good records around, like, and there still is, like, there's, you know, a band I'll hear about from a friend and go over there, and chances are, like, you know, there's something of that form just laying around, and, yeah, there was always a lot of records around, but they were always really, like, supportive or really interested in the fact that we enjoy doing that, so, yeah,
cool.
I mean, it was never an issue, I guess.
Now, any
they're
of those
really supportive.
Awesome. Now, any of those records that you were listening to growing up influence the sound that Cheap Girls has?
Yeah, probably quite a bit, actually. My dad had a lot of, like, you know, Lemonheads were pretty common to listen to, and both parents, mainly my mom, liked the Gin Blossoms a lot, and those are two of my personal favorites even to this day.
Cool.
Those ones, and then, you know, like, even like I said, you know, I went over there a couple weeks ago, and lately I've, you know, stolen one of my dad's Dramarama CDs, and that's, like, pretty much all I've been listening to the last few weeks. My brother and I definitely lucked out with what was available to us, you know. It's funny, it's kind of the opposite, you know. I'll tell my dad I'm watching a DVD, like, you know, the band's left Walter something. So why are you listening to that? And you're like, so it's kind of the opposite of most things, you know, like, it's like me getting into Simon and Garfunkel is kind of, you know, my rebellion. So, like, it's kind of reversed. It's a really weird, but beneficial, for sure.
That's cool. It sounds like your parents are maybe, I don't want to say younger, but it sounds like your parents are listening to music that's of a younger generation than, let's say, my parents, who I had Glenn Miller Orchestra on the radio growing up, so a little bit of a difference.
See, they definitely had a lot of everything around. It's just that they have to stay up so much lately, but, you know, I mean, they were, you know, I think they were, you know, mid-30s, early 40s when I was, you know, in school and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they're both around 50 right now, but...
Gotcha.
Yeah, but they've just always kind of stayed current, you know. They're at the kind of, you know, adults that are still hanging on to their Clapton records from high school and stuff.
Right.
And think music was done after that. So.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Now, have they come to any of your shows?
Yeah, I mean, when we play it down, they're there a lot of the time.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll play in Lansing once every few weeks or something. And, you know, at least half the time they're out there, so that's cool. Yeah, they're into it.
Awesome. Now, of course, a lot of times when I read about you guys or, you know, reviews or different articles or things, you guys are often compared to another band that contains brothers, and that's Smoking Popes. Have you guys ever had any contact with them, or have you guys ever, have they ever heard your stuff at all that you know of or anything? Because, I mean, obviously there's similarities, but I was just curious about that.
Well, I love Smoking Popes. That's actually another band that my dad listened to a lot when I was younger. We covered a song that was called Brand New Hairstyle, just as a little, when we were doing the full length, and we just kind of, it's a really easy one, so we just kind of said it'd be cool to have, and I think we posted it on our MySpace or something shortly after we recorded it, and I sent them a message just kind of alerting them, asking permission, whatever, you know, just kind of bringing it up sort of thing, and I wrote them, you know, a nice email about how much I like their band, things like that. And I think is what I got back was like, cool, keep it up. And that's
Wow.
The entire email. So that's the contact I've had with them personally.
Gotcha. Well, your cover of Brand New Hairstyle is awesome.
Thank you very much. It's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's not a bad thing. It's definitely a good track.
Thank you very much.
Now, of course, you mentioned the full length, Find Me a Drink Home. That was physically released on Bermuda Mohawk Productions. How did you guys hook up with Kale from the label to release that record?
Well, Kale is in Lansing, and you know, he's been a friend of all of ours, like individually, for years and years and years. And you know, it's really just friends. You know, like he did the CD of it, and then our friend Sean did the vinyl. And a label called Los Diaper. Same sort of situation where he's just kind of, you know, Lansing isn't, you know, that difficult to know everybody. So it's just friends that we were around a lot, you know, and they each had their, you know, Sean does vinyl and Kale does CDs for the most part. So they each said they were interested and, you know, just kind of made it happen, I guess.
That's awesome. Now,
so,
have you
very,
guys...
Very, very laid back.
That's cool. That's very cool. Everything I've seen is that the response to the record has just been great. Everyone loves it. They should, in my opinion. It's a great record. Have you been surprised by the response that you've gotten from the record?
Yeah, for sure. I didn't really see that coming, you know, when I was sitting at a desk drinking whiskey, writing it. You know, those are the first songs I ever wrote. So it did it really quickly. You know, it was been kind of quick. I mean, no complaints, I guess. I guess I'm surprised. It's more of, you know, it's one of those things where I guess I never really, or none of us really thought about it before.
Right.
I don't know if we really thought about it a whole lot now. You know, nothing's really changed. I mean, we you know, there's more stuff to read about, I guess, but,
right.
Like, that's about it. So,
cool.
And we're working on our next one right now.
Oh, awesome. How far along are you in that process?
I think I practiced yesterday. We've got enough songs for it, and just, you know, but it's still a little soon, and I think the first one is being re-released, the vinyl, because I think that first pressing was kind of getting low. So, you know,
that's pretty cool, isn't it?
What's that?
That's pretty cool, isn't it? that the first
that's the other thing too. That's been the coolest thing. It's like, you know, forever with all of our old bands, it's always like, oh, you can't do vinyl because you're going to make 500 and have 475 forever. Right. So that's kind of the, I would say personally, the coolest side effect that you're able to, you know, release an LP and have, you know, actually, and, you know, get rid of some copies.
Sure.
So that's been cool. But yeah, you know, it's still, it seems old to us because, you know, we've played the songs hundreds of times in the last year and a half, and, but at the same time, you know, I guess it's only 5 or 6 months old, so.
Right.
But yeah, I think we're probably gonna, we're doing a fair amount of touring in the, late winter, early spring, and, I think we want to record it after that, and probably late next year. We're still kind of figuring out how that one's going to come out.
Sure. Well, I know there'll be a lot of folks who will be looking forward to picking that up when it comes out, so we'll have to stay tuned for that.
Hopefully, yeah.
All right. On the digital release for your current record, you guys kind of took a different path and went with Quote Unquote Records, which of course is a you know, a donation-based label.
Right.
Were you guys hesitant at all about kind of going that route as far as, you know, people can basically download the album for free and then maybe decide to throw a couple bucks their way?
No, not really, actually. No, I mean, I guess it's, you know, it is what it is. It's our first record, and I think it was the best situation we really could have been in for to put out a first record. And, like, I mean, ideally you want everybody to hear it, and, you know, we don't, I mean, you know, it's all we worry about with the physical copies of things is making our money back. And, you know, which is, hasn't been done yet, but,
hopefully we'll soon.
The whole fun side of things is, like, this, that possibility for everybody to hear the record within, like, you know, depending on their connection speed pretty quickly.
Right.
So that was the exciting thing is, you know, like, it gave everybody an opportunity to just hear our record, and it's exactly what we wanted.
Awesome.
So, it's funny, it was actually, Jeff's been a friend of mine for a few years, and Jeff Rosestock, who does that label.
Sure.
And he didn't want to put it out at first, and, like, we were actually, you know, I'd asked him if he would do it, and he's, like, you know, very hesitant, didn't really want to, and then a couple months later, they were in town, whenever, and he asked if they could do it, so it's kind of funny.
Huh.
Came full circle, I guess. So, yeah, I'm really happy it's up there. We like the idea.
Awesome. Now, did he say why he was hesitant at first?
Yeah, I think he just had, you know, like, we've been friends, but he didn't really have, you know, it was kind of a new thing, the songs, the band and all that, and I don't think he'd really heard it or seen it, and it was more of just, like, he's actually pretty selective as to what he'll release, and a lot of people still, like, will email us and just say, hey, we talked to Jeff about just putting our record up online, and I think it's cool that, like, you know, that a lot of people don't consider it a label because it is free, and it is right there for download, but, like, I really admire the fact that he's still, like, you know, he treats it like a label. He doesn't want to put out something he doesn't like, so that's really cool, and I think that helps his side of things, or, you know, people understand that he's not just putting up everybody's four-track thing, because, you know, anybody can do that themselves.
Right, which is true, and of course they can put up on iTunes themselves if they really want to, so
understand that.
Do you guys ever get to travel up north to Canada for shows?
We haven't, no. You know, we actually haven't really debated that one. I know that, you know, living in Michigan, we've all been to Canada several times. It's not very difficult to get over there, and we have friends there and everything from, you know, the past. But, yeah, we've never played there. I'm sure we'll do it at some point. It's just the opportunity nobody's really asked, and we haven't really tried. But I'm sure it'll be done at some point.
Hopefully in the summertime.
Yeah. We'll see. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
So you guys will be touring here soon. What parts of the country are you going to be hitting up?
Well, I think for the rest of the year, it's so, in our area, it's so, risky, like, booking a tour, because we never know what the weather's going to do. Like, so we're doing, like, 4 days, I think next week, where we're just hitting some kind of, you know, normal Midwest areas, you know, Wisconsin, Minnesota, yeah, and, Indiana, Illinois, that sort of thing, and then I think what we wanted to do is spend December and a large portion of January getting those other songs all wrapped up and finished, and just kind of it's kind of like right now we only having that one record is kind of like we've got 11 or 12 songs to rotate every night, and it's kind of right. We'd like to have maybe 20 that we're capable of playing well.
Sure.
And just kind of change it up, make it more fun. And then I think in late February, early March, I think is kind of the big plan of just kind of going out for a little bit.
Awesome.
For a while. So yeah.
Very
and we've,
cool.
Yeah, I know there's some stuff. I know we're definitely doing the East Coast. We've done the East Coast a lot this year, actually. Let's go south again, and there's been talks of Europe.
Wow.
We'll see about that. And and go west. Just kind of cover everything before we really get into the second record.
Awesome. If I can make a pitch for you guys to come back to Florida, let me know.
Love we to will be in again. Florida in early March.
Okay.
I know that for sure.
Okay.
That we're doing the Harvest of Hope Festival.
And,
I forgot where it's at.
It's in St. Augustine. Yeah, it's in St. Augustine.
Yeah. Yep, we're doing that.
Cool.
So that's actually one of the few confirmed dates for that far ahead. I know that one.
Cool.
So...
Are there any cities that you've hit up before, like on the East Coast or maybe even in the Midwest, that are kind of home away from home for you guys? I mean, obviously Lansing is where you're from, but are there any other cities that are a good distance away that you get a good response to and get good crowds?
Definitely. We've always had a blast in Brooklyn, and I think other than Lansing, that we played there more times than any other city besides Lansing, actually.
Huh.
Like, we have a lot of friends there, a lot of our friends' bands are there, and, friends that used to live here that live there now, and things like that. Like, it's just, we always have an absolute blast doing that. So, personally, I think all of us, that's probably our second favorite place to be, if not our first favorite.
Cool.
It's more fun to play in New York than Lansing,
Yeah, I can't imagine why. I've never been to Lansing, but I can only imagine.
Yeah. It's not stiff competition or anything.
Yeah, it's a lot like Tallahassee, Florida, I'm sure, where I'm from.
Is that where you live?
Yeah, I'm in Tallahassee, yeah.
Right on.
Well, Ian, are there any final words of wisdom you have for us or anything else you want to share?
No. Download our record if you haven't. It's free. I guess that's about all I have to say. We'll be around. So,
awesome.
Come to the show, say hi.
Awesome.
But, yeah, thank you very much for the interview. That's
thank
fun.
You. Thank you, Ian. It's definitely my pleasure. And, everyone check out Cheap Girls and Find Me a Drink Home. It's definitely a great record.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again to Ian and Cheap Girls. As talked about in the interview, here is their direct cover of the Smoking Pope's classic, Brand New Hairstyle.
tomorrow and then, so we can keep this party going for the rest of our lives. Today is the day for tomorrow and then, so we can keep this party going for the rest of our lives. I can feel the warm desire as this heart is set afire. Let it burn as it beats, and we'll never be defeated if we say that it will happen, and we know that it will happen. It'll happen just the same, and we'll be here to lead it. So we can keep this party going for the rest of our lives. Today is the day for tomorrow and then. So we can keep this party going for the rest of our lives. If the government can't fight it, they will only try to hide it. But we're looking in their eyes through their moderate disguises. Let the new and loving people overcome this evil. The stage is set for battle as the curtain slowly rises. Today is the day for tomorrow and then. So we can keep this party going for the rest of our lives. Today is the day for tomorrow and then. So we can keep this party going for the rest of our lives.
We're back at Rocket Fuel. From their latest victory release, Permanent Revolution, that was Catch 22 with Party Song. The album is actually a concept record about the life of Leon Trotsky, who was a Bolshevik revolutionary and a major contributor to Marxist theory. Before that was brand new music from the New Orleans ska band Fatter Than Albert. From their latest release, The Last Minute, that was Last Minute. To download this album for free, visit their label, Community Records, on the web at communityrecords.org. Up next is the last tune for the show, and it's a classic track from the DC punk band Dag Nasty. From their 2002 Revelation Records release, Minority of One, this is Bottle This.
Tattoo, but the same old face. Complacent. my pressures, but I can't accept your reaction. It's been a long road. Is it all a distraction? Birth, school, work, death. These are things we all have to accept. And sometimes it feels like you're hitting a wall. I can't make sense of it all.
That'll do it for this episode of Rocket Fuel. Send any requests, comments, or words of encouragement to me at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to add me as a friend on MySpace by going to myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.